The reading for today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for the reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Burns, very much for reading for us. Please do flick back a page and keep that open in front of you. One of Paul's favorite metaphors for the church is a body. Now, he describes the church as a body in numerous places, more specifically, the body of Christ. And in our passage this morning, he unpacks that imagery in some detail. He's writing to a church that's in trouble. It's a divided church and an unloving church. It's dysfunctional. So in this chapter, he's giving his readers a picture of what healthy church life should be like. And what he says here doesn't apply only to dysfunctional churches. It applies to all churches, which is why we're going to spend some time studying it this morning. The picture of a body gives us three guiding principles for church life. And we're going to look at them briefly, one at a time. Here's the first. It's unity. Paul writes in verse 12, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now, the body is one. It's a unit. That's how we think of our physical bodies. Of course, they have many parts. Perhaps you remember that old children's song that children sing. Head, shoulders, knees and toes. Head, shoulders, knees and toes, eyes and ears, mouth and nose, head, shoulders, knees and toes. We all know that song, don't we? We learn from a young age that our bodies have many different parts. But we don't think of our bodies as a collection of parts. We think of our bodies as a whole. It's my body. You might think of it as an aching body, or a slightly flabby body, or for some, an athletic body. But we nonetheless think of it as a whole. It is my body. And Paul says that we need to think of the church, the body of Christ, in the same way. We are one, a unit. Of course, there are many parts, but we're not just a gathering of individuals. Now, together we form a body. And the reason for that is in verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And Paul's talking about conversion. When someone becomes a Christian, that's the work of the Holy Spirit within them. And all believers have the Spirit living within them. The Holy Spirit lives within each one of us. And it's his presence in us that unites us with one another and makes us one. One of the joys of becoming a Christian is that God makes us part of something bigger than ourselves. He makes us part of a body in which we are united with other believers. So that's the first principle of church life, unity. We are one body. But unity is not the same as uniformity. We're not all called to be clones of one another. Church life would be very boring indeed if we were all the same. So the gospel creates unity with diversity. And that's the second principle of church life, diversity. Look at verse 14. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Paul's stating the obvious. The body doesn't just have one part. It isn't just a hand. Nor is it made up of many parts that are all identical. It isn't 12 hands. It's made up of many different parts. Remember the children's song, head, shoulders, knees and toes. And likewise, the church, we're not all the same. Again, that's stating the obvious. We're all different. We have different experiences of life so far. And we have different personalities. We have different interests and tastes. We're at different ages and stages of life. And that's a good thing. But that diversity can be challenging. There may be some who can feel inferior. That's what Paul's addressing in verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. See, no one should say, I don't belong here because I'm not like so-and-so. And if we're all the same, the body couldn't function. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So no member of the church should suffer from an inferiority complex. But equally, there's no place for feeling superior. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. Every part of the body is necessary. I can't speak without a mouth. I can't smell without a nose. I can't hear without my ears. I can't walk without my legs. I can't send a text message without my fingers. Each part of the body is different, but each part of the body is needed. And it's the same in the church. We're all different. We each have an important part to contribute to the whole. And we're all needed. But if we're to have unity with diversity, we also need harmony. That's the third principle of church life, harmony. Now, there's something breathtaking, isn't there, about watching a gymnast when every part of their body is working together in total harmony. I think for gymnasts going through a floor routine or performing on the parallel bars or doing a vault. Each part of the body is working together in complete harmony with a common purpose, to do a somersault or a handspring or whatever else it might be. And that's how it should be with the church. We're one body with many parts, and we have a common purpose. Now, we've stated our common purpose in our mission statement. It is to help people of our town and local community become fully committed followers of Jesus. If we're to achieve that common purpose, then we need to work together, each playing our part in harmony with the others. And what we contribute depends entirely on the gifts God has given us. That's the point of verses 27 to 31, which come at the end of that chapter. Let's just read those. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Well, that's just one list of the gifts that God gives to his people. There are more lists in other parts of the Bible, so this isn't meant to cover everything. The point is that God gives many different skills and abilities to his people. Between us, he's given all the different skills and abilities that we need to be the church that he wants us to be. And it takes all of us working in harmony together, contributing our different skills and abilities to function as the body of Christ and to achieve our common purpose as God intends. And when we do that, the body thrives and Christ is glorified. So what does that mean for us then? Well, I think this is really exciting. It means that we have everything we need to be the church that God wants us to be, right here. It means that everyone here is important, and it means that everyone here has a role to play to contribute something to the whole. I think that's really exciting. Now, of course, serving in the church is always sacrificial, but it also brings great blessings. There will be many here who can testify that it's when they've served sacrificially in the church that they've grown as Christians. Now, their faith has become more real somehow as they've put it into action. And serving side by side for the sake of the gospel is a great way to get to know each other better and to feel as though we belong. But this will apply to all of us differently. There will be some who are already doing all you can. And there may even be some who are doing more than their share, who need to do less. And that's fine. There may be some who can't do as much now as they used to in the past. We serve in different ways at different stages of life. But there may also be some who can do more. There may be some who are already serving but have the capacity to take on a little extra. And there may be some who aren't yet involved at all. That may be simply because you haven't been asked before now. Or perhaps because you thought you didn't have anything much to contribute. Or perhaps because you're new to faith and haven't been with us long. Well, this passage is saying that you matter to us and you're needed. And there is an important part for you to play if you are willing. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for making us members of one body through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for the opportunities you have given us to play our part as members of that body. Please help each of us to use our many gifts and abilities for the good of the whole. Help us to share out the workload among us. And as we do that, please build your kingdom and glorify your name in us and through us. Amen.